Kia ora koutou, I'm Adam, I'm the other half of Colleen. I like tramping, if anyone hadn't guessed. I had a friend once, he's still my friend. It's an important caveat to the story. When I was 19, I went out for a tramp with him. He had never been tramping before. And so he put a lot of trust in me that I knew what I was doing, which Colleen would affirm that that is a good thing to do, trust me. Anyway, so we went out hiking, tramping, we got them all packed and we went out. We were going out for quite a few days, but the weather closed in on us. And so we ended up at a hut, everything had gone pretty well. And he was happy with how things were going, trusted me to that point. And so we decided to, I suggested that because we couldn't go where we wanted to go, because the weather had ruined our plans, that there was a mountain just over here that looked worthy to be climbed. There was no track or anything, or there was just a map. So it looked pretty easy. And so I said, would you like to climb a mountain? Have you ever climbed a mountain before? And he said, no. So we did that. He trusted me because everything had gone well to that point. Anyway, the next day we climbed the mountain. We went up a really great way and he trusted me because everywhere we went, it was exactly where I said we were going. We're going to, about here, we were going to, you know, it was great. And I was quite proud of my map reading skills. Anyway, we got to the top of the mountain. And it was amazing, beautiful mountain meadows. And he loved being up there. His trust in me was very, very high at that point. Then I said, look, rather than go down the same way, let's try a different way down, because that would be interesting. It takes us through a bit more bush than we might have done before. So it could be challenging, but it will definitely be an adventure. Would you like to give it a go? And so, of course, he trusted me, you know, incredibly at this point, rightly so. So we walked around, we went down, we entered into the bush. And it became a bit of a struggle. I was very confident about where we were. And it was tough. It was difficult. It was more difficult than I had imagined. So for him, having never experienced this before, the trust in me started to erode very, very quickly. And words started coming out of his mouth that, you know, we are still friends to this day. But they were words that he probably regretted later on. We went through bush, we got scratched, we went through a few swamps, we had to climb a few logs. But he was, I still knew where I was. I was pretty confident we were going in the right direction. Then there was this big long log across this quite steep gully, and it was easier to go across the log. It was quite scary. So I went out across the log, the tree trunk, and I walked across to the edge, and I stood at the edge. And then he finally gave up at the end. He got to that log and he says, Adam, do you even know where you're going? And I said, just trust me. Just follow over. So he eventually came over. He was going to go down or around. I said, just come across this trunk. So he came across and really, really thankfully for me, on the other side of that log, we had the tree line. And he walked out and I was just standing there quite smugly as he came out and we were 100 meters from the hut. So we had come out exactly. So my map reading was strong. Okay, I felt very pleased. It doesn't always happen that way. And he may never have come with me again. He didn't come with me for a long time after that. But however, there was trust followed by doubt, followed by recognition that I was the master map reader. But I guess, have you ever been certain, absolutely certain about something in your life where you've followed someone or you've done something only to find yourself questioning that surety or questioning whether you actually had it right in the first place? That moment when something seemed really crystal clear, like you're really certain about something, it becomes clouded with doubt. And today we're going to explore that story that's just been written out in Scripture. The story of a man who recognized Jesus before anyone else, John the Baptist, yet later found himself asking the very question we might whisper in our darkest moments. Are you really the one? Now picture the scene, the wilderness of Judea, a harsh and unforgiving landscape. Into this desolate place comes a man unlike any other, John the Baptizer. Now, if Jeremy was preaching today, you probably wouldn't have to imagine it. And we definitely didn't want you having to see that. So I decided to do this one. I was actually thinking, oh, something would be great. Wild head, dressed in camel skin. I'm thinking a nice little sheepskin loincloth or something like that. Anyway, eating locusts and wild honey. He's not your typical religious leader. No fine robes, no palace, no comfortable lifestyle, just a voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. But John wasn't just some eccentric preacher. His story begins before birth, with an angel's promise to his father Zechariah. Even in the womb, the stories tell us that John recognized Jesus when Mary visited Elizabeth. Luke tells us that the baby leaped for joy at the sound of Mary's greeting. And from the very beginning, John had a spiritual connection to Jesus. And he knew his purpose with clarity. He understood he was the voice preparing the way, the friend of the bridegroom that was coming, making everything ready for that big main event. When people wondered if he might be the Messiah himself, John was quick to correct them. He said, no, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming who is more powerful than I am. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. And then came this pivotal day by the Jordan River. Jesus approached John to be baptized by him. And John immediately recognized him. I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me? This probably wasn't their first meeting. We don't know for sure. But they likely knew each other, being cousins of a similar age. But it was in this moment that John saw beyond the familiar face to the divine calling. And as Jesus emerged from the water, the heavens opened, the Spirit descended. Well, the heaven was opened. Not necessarily coming down, but heaven was opened. The Spirit descended like a dove, and God's voice declared, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And John himself witnessed this cosmic endorsement. And he later testified, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him." Every one of the Gospels tells the story in some way. The next day, John saw Jesus again and declared to his disciples, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And two of John's disciples immediately left to follow Jesus. And it would seem that John wasn't threatened or jealous, lost a few followers. In those days, you couldn't follow multiple people online. You could just follow one or the other. He clipped unsubscribe, subscribe, whatever. But he understood that his role was to decrease while Jesus increased in influence. He had recognized the Messiah and was willing to fulfill his purpose perfectly. Now, for yourself, take a moment to reflect. I don't know where you are on your journey of faith, but if you have been following Jesus, when did you first recognize Jesus? Was it a dramatic moment where the whole world changed for you? Was it a gradual realization until you found yourself, hey, I'm on this path walking with Jesus? What was it that drew you to him initially? But then the story takes an unexpected turn. John, who had recognized Jesus so clearly, who had seen the heavens open and he had heard God's voice, he found himself in Herod's prison, King Herod's prison. The man who had fearlessly confronted religious leaders and called them a brood of vipers, you pit of snakes. He was now locked away for challenging Herod's immoral marriage. Now, can you imagine John in that dark cell? He's hearing reports about Jesus' ministry, but perhaps it's not unfolding as he expected. Where was the judgment that he had preached about? Where was the winnowing fork separating the wheat from the chaff? Where was the dramatic intervention of the Messiah? And in John's place of isolation and uncertainty, doubt started to creep in. The man who had recognized Jesus so clearly now sent his disciples with a question that must have been agonizing for him to ask. Are you the one who was to come? Are you actually the one who was to come? Or should we be looking for someone else? Have I wasted my time? And this is where the story becomes often deeply more personal for us as well. Because how many times have we found ourselves perhaps in our own prisons? Perhaps not literal cells, but circumstances that we never expected. Illness when we prayed for healing. Loss when we hoped for a different kind of blessing. Silence when we desperately needed to hear God's voice. Now, I recognized Jesus at the age of 3. I remember vividly that moment of giving my heart to Jesus as a child. I still remember it. I went through this little cycle of recommitting my life to him at 8, and then at 12, and then doubt came, and I shared a little bit of my story a few weeks ago. And then later on in my late teens, when God dramatically called me back from a destructive path and transformed my life, and I experienced him in ways I'd never experienced him before, and I truly recognized him again, doubt would return to me in cycles. Every few years, I'd go through this moment of doubt. And particularly between the years 2005 and 2015, this was at the height of our ministry in Cambodia, working in prisons. It was also during the height of what's been called the New Atheist Movement. There was a movement that was really hammering atheism and this need for this lack of need for God. So even while doing Christian ministry and seeing lives transformed, I personally struggled with doubt. Every 2 to 3 years, I would go through this cycle. The Richard Dawkins, I don't know if you've heard of the God Delusion book, which is very, very popular. Christopher Hitchens, they were doing their best to undermine faith, and sometimes their arguments found very fertile ground in my questioning mind. But here's what kept me anchored. Because I would go through that cycle and I would deconstruct everything all over again. I would go back to the beginning and go, okay, let me start again. Do I believe everything came from nothing or everything came from something? This is my process. And I would find my either or. And then I'd go, okay, if it was created by someone, I couldn't accept that it came from nothing. If created, what was this creating force or being? And then I would wrestle through that. And then I would go, and if there was a creating force or being, is that being interacting with this world? And if they are, then how? And I would find my way all the way back to Jesus again. And I would go, the stake in the ground that was kind of wobbling a little bit got hammered back in. But even when I couldn't feel God's presence in my own life, I could actually see the evidence of his work. I witnessed the very things that Jesus spoke about. We witnessed lives transformed, hope restored. We saw the broken made whole. And the evidence that I was seeing, this was miraculous. It pointed back to the truth that I had recognized years earlier. And guess what? It was the New Atheist Movement that eventually came crashing down and has lost its way. Their time has ended, but the kingdom of God continues rumbling along in its unstoppable advance. It's now okay to go, actually, we are spiritual beings. There's more to life than this. There's got to be purpose. But here's what's beautiful about Jesus' response, and I think really comforting for us. He doesn't rebuke John for doubting. Of course I'm the one who was to come. How dare you question me after everything you've seen? Instead, Jesus does what he often does, and actually not answer the question, as we found, but he pointed to the evidence. And he says, go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Jesus was saying, look at the fruit. Look what's actually happening. Do these signs that you're seeing from my ministry match what the prophet said the Messiah would do? He was pointing John back to Isaiah's prophecies, to the promises that he knew that would help John recognize the truth that he already knew, but he was struggling to hold on to. Jesus didn't give a simple yes or no answer. He gave evidence. He invited John to examine the proof and draw his own conclusions. And then he added those gentle but profound words, "Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." Now, I've always found that in the NIV translation an odd thing to say, almost like a tacked on. How does that relate to what he's just said? But the word that is used here, Sam, I might mess this up. Although there's a whole bunch of people learning Greek or know Greek. So don't take any scandalizo offense at me. Scandalizo is the word. And it's often also translated as offense. Blessed who is anyone who does not take offense because of me. It's the same word used with the Pharisees and teachers of the law when it said they took offense at him and what he was saying. So here it seems to mean something like, blessed is the one who does not trip up, lose faith, or turn away because perhaps I don't meet their expectations or what I'm saying doesn't fit with your narrative. Blessed are you if you're not offended by what I'm doing or saying. It was a gentle encouragement to John to hold on even though things aren't going the way he expected. This brings me to another question for you. Where are you today on your recognition journey? All of us here today are somewhere on our journey of recognizing Jesus. Perhaps you're like John in his early ministry. You're clear about who Jesus is. You're confident in your calling. You're ready to point others towards him. If that's you, embrace your role and your purpose, preparing the way for others to meet Jesus. Essentially, that's what we're here for, preparing the way for the Lord. We are the ones that help bring people into a place where they can recognize Jesus. Now, your clarity and your confidence in doing that can help others in their journey of recognition and the way you live out your life. But maybe you're experiencing recognition for the first time. Perhaps you're just learning about this person, Jesus. Maybe you've been in relationship with someone, a friend, family member, who's been introducing you to God and has also introduced you to this person, Jesus, through their words or by what they do. But now you're maybe at a point where you need to make your own decision. Like John's disciples, who heard him say, "Look, the Lamb of God." And then they had to choose whether to follow Jesus themselves or stick with John. They were at a crossroads. So today might be the day that you recognize Jesus as the one you need to follow. Or perhaps you're in John's prison. Not literally, but maybe emotionally or spiritually or circumstantially. Perhaps life hasn't turned out as you expected. Maybe the world seems darker than when you first believed. You're wondering if Jesus really is who you thought he was, and if following him has been worth it. If that is you, you're in good company. John the Baptist, the greatest man born of woman, according to Jesus, went through this struggle. Your doubt doesn't disqualify you. Your questions don't anger Jesus. He's not going to slap you around or reject you for your honesty. And neither will we. Been there, done that. But Jesus will point you to the evidence, just as he did with John. So if you look around you, where do you see the blind receiving their sight? Perhaps not just physically, but spiritually. Where do you see the lame walking? People who were stuck now finding new strength and new purpose. Where do you see the dead being raised? Lives that were once hopeless now finding new meaning through faith in Jesus. The kingdom of God hasn't stopped advancing. Yes, the world looks challenging. Yes, there's evil and suffering and things that make us question. But I'm confident that in 10 years' time, we'll look back and see how God's kingdom has continued to grow and rumble along even through the darkness. And like you, I wake up each day to news that can upset, anger, or discourage me, either close to hand or further afield. I see the pain that human stupidity and evil can do. But I have never lost hope. Never. Because the evidence of God's work continues to accumulate. The kingdom advances, lives are transformed, hope is restored. Today's media won't show you that. But it's there. You just have to go looking. So what's our response to this today? If you've never recognized Jesus before, this might be your moment, like those first disciples. Or if you recognize Jesus long ago and you're in a good place in your journey, your calling is clear. Come alongside others. Encourage those who are struggling. Help prepare the way for others to meet Jesus. You don't have to be preachy. You just have to be present. Be loving. Be the evidence of God's goodness in someone's life. Your way of being, of loving, of being hopeful, of being kind, of having peace, it will be making people talk and watch. You're making God known by being like Him. And if today you're in your own prison of doubt, reach out to Jesus with your honest questions. I encourage you to do that. Say what John said. Jesus, are you the one that I should be trusting? He won't reject you. He'll point you to the evidence and help you decide for yourself. Now here's the challenge, and I offer it with both sensitivity and conviction. The question isn't whether Jesus will do what we expect or make our lives comfortable. The question is whether we trust Him enough to follow wherever that journey leads. Spoiler alert, John's circumstances didn't improve. He lost his head. But his legacy lives on. And the kingdom of God continues towards its fulfillment. His willingness to prepare the way, to recognize Jesus, and even to doubt honestly, has encouraged countless others in their faith journey. I don't know about you, but for me, the evidence suggests that God knows what He's doing. The kingdom continues to advance. Hope remains alive. And you have a part to play in that story too. So whether you're recognizing Jesus for the first time or recommitting to follow Him despite your doubts or stepping into your role as the one who helps others recognize Him, today is your day to respond. The same Jesus who gently answered John's question is here with us now. He's holding out His hands. He's inviting you to trust Him, to follow Him, to find in Him the hope that never disappoints. So what will your response be? Now, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He had a special meal with His disciples. The same disciples that He knew within 24 hours would be scattered, fearful, doubting, hiding, questioning. And He's sitting with them having a meal, knowing the hard road they were about to walk. And even as He contemplated His own impending torture and death on the way to His resurrection and defeat of that same death. And during that meal, He paused and He took up the bread and He gave thanks and He broke it, saying, "This is My body broken for you. Take it and eat it to remember Me." And in the same way, He took the cup and said, "This is My blood of the new covenant shed for you. Drink this in remembrance of Me." And we were commanded to continue this remembrance of Jesus. And 2,000 years later, we still remember. And we are reminded of not only that moment, but of that moment when our own eyes were opened. That moment when we recognized Jesus. And in fact, it was two disciples on the Sunday of Jesus' resurrection, still mourning his death, and who found themselves walking with him without knowing it. He was right there, and yet they couldn't see him for who he was. But something was stirring inside them. It was when he broke the bread that their eyes were opened and again, and they recognized him afresh. We'll hear about that in a few weeks' time. But today, as we look at the bread, is this a moment where we re-recognize who Jesus is? So today, as you take this cup, don't just toss it back. Take a moment and pause. Is Jesus showing himself to you? Is today the day you recognize him and say, "Yes, Lord, I recognize you. I invite you into my life. I want to follow you." Those are simple words to say, probably the most powerful ones you'll ever utter. Or are you following Jesus with great faith? Is today the day you recognize him and your role in preparing the way for others to meet him? Invite Jesus to use you to prepare the way, and I guarantee your life will change. Or are you in prison, in a space where you can't see what you thought you would see in your life? Is today the day you remember when you first met Jesus and ask him to show you the evidence around you that he is there and active in your life and in the lives of those around us? I encourage you to ask him that question. Be honest with him. And I think you too will see your life change. You can play the music now.